This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins and you can find me at Conquest3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my good colleague at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of February. It's 3 minutes to six in the UK. And we've had an interesting week so far. There's lots of people celebrating various stocks that are going absolutely whappy, rising very, very swiftly at the moment. And we're just going to talk about that today and a few other bits and pieces. But first and foremost, I want to say a big hello to Pete. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. But I don't know about you. I think up there in Leicester, you're in some sort of time warp, mate. Because you said the 2nd of February and it's the 10th. But yeah, apart from us being in the future down here in Windsor.
Oh, dear. You know what I've done there, right, Pete? I've been reading so much stuff about American this, American that, and I've got the back to front, mate. You know how they put the twos and the month first, yeah?
Yeah. So you're in October, you're on the 2nd of October. Yeah,
absolutely, mate, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, so, it's funny, you say, how am I?
Yeah, excuse me, folks, that's me there. You know.
How am I?
It is the 10th of February, and I've got the time right at least. So there you go, off to a cracking start here.
We're flying. Now, mate, I had a visit from a nurse today and they've taken some blood and I'm due to see my doctor next Monday. So, you know, hopefully we're making progress on the ailments I have. And I said to you earlier, I think I'm feeling a bit better. So I sort of wonder if it's going to end up fixing itself before the doctors ever see me. But hey, it is what it is. Mate, what do you think of the markets then?
Well, I'm hoping, first and foremost, Pete, that you get some good news during the weekend and also next week. So I'm hoping that, fingers crossed for you there, mate. We'll be having a little prayer for you as well.
Yeah,
it's been a long time, mate. It's been a long time. So we shouldn't dismiss that. You know, everybody wants to be sorted out. And unfortunately, there's lots of other distractions we've got going on at the minute regarding the care that lots of individuals are getting, including yourself. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm just bored with it. And it's funny, I heard someone the other day talking about the whole lockdown thing, that, and they mentioned the word monotony. And I thought it really summed it up well, because it's like, I think that's a lot of it, isn't it? It's like people's lives are so monotonous. We just do the same things day in, day out, whether you're working or whether you're not working or whatever you're doing. It's just every day is the same. And there's like, you know, where are the nice, exciting things to look forward to? I think that's what, and then, like, you know, with me, with my ailments as well, it's like, oh my God, it's so boring.
It is a bit of Groundhog Day. I mean, I'm not recommending this solution for everybody, but you for those of us that live with somebody who actually likes to shop, what you'll find is that the other person in the household is going to the front door a lot regarding a certain company delivering various different bits and pieces to the door on a regular basis. Whereas I'm thinking, well, surely, you know what, pre-lockdown, we'd get one delivery maybe a week or every couple of weeks. Now it seems to be almost on a every other day or a recurring basis. And the chap that tends to deliver mainly for us in our house is going to one of the four houses on our cul-de-sac every day, right? And he knocks on our front door and he goes, it's not for you, mate. And I'm going, yeah, I know it's not for me, you know, because it's either for the mini boss or the big boss. You know, I don't tend to buy anything.
But it's like the most exciting thing to happen, isn't it? It's when something comes through the door and you're like, oh, what's that?
Absolutely.
People
in that void and the monotony with buying stuff, Pete. You know, and as we've spoken about before, they've got extra money. Some people got extra money. We've spoken about before, some people haven't. And they're buying stuff to fill the void, I think, as well, and to give them something to look forward to. To break the monotony.
Or they're drinking loads. That's the other one.
Don't. We said we wouldn't talk about that. I mean, I must confess, folks, I'm not a big drinker, right?
But you weren't.
But past tense. I wasn't a big drinker. But I do enjoy a drink when I go out and have a drink. But in lockdown, I've been finding myself having I drink on a more regular basis, and on a Friday, Saturday, I am actually drinking enough. I'm just like I'm relaxing now. I'm having a sesh, And on Fridays, I meet my colleagues from all over the country that are various economists and fund managers and all the rest of it, and we sit down and we have a virtual drink, but a discussion about what's going on in the world and about stocks and all that. And I'll have my, beers and my spirits and whatever, and the session starts at 6:30, and it's been known to go on for until 1 o'clock, I think, so the latest I've been there. So Martin will be listening, my colleague Martin, who runs these forums. So hello, Martin, if you're listening. And sometimes it's just mayhem, and you're thinking, why am I still up at 12:30 drinking? And I know why, because of the week that we've had. It's been monotonous, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. Do you find that the you're talking about economic things and stocks and what's going on in the world? Do you find the discussion start to go awry as the hours pass?
They do, but you know what? It becomes funny because everyone invariably at some point or other finds an analogy for what's actually going on, whether it be for the markets or COVID or prior to that, Trump or now Biden. Everyone's finding a joke within a joke. So there's in jokes, and you're thinking, oh, here we go again. But it's that bit that if you were down the pub and you were out for 3 or 4 hours and you were drinking profusely, everything then becomes funny anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah. You need the banter,
You
don't
need
you?
the you, we all need the banter, folks. So if you're stuck at home or on your own and you're looking for something different to do, find some comedy. Find something you can watch that actually makes you chuckle. You can watch it with somebody, you can watch it on your own, and you can enjoy it. And it doesn't matter what generation you're from, there's something out there for you on the internet that you can have a listen to and go, you know what, and have a good chuckle to yourself. You don't have to drink,
Well, yeah, and it's, I mean, I've been pretty good at, well, it's partly because I haven't been feeling well, but I've been pretty good at keeping off the booze. I've always been quite good at separating my home life from the pub. In the pub, I'll have a beer, but at home life, I definitely don't. And I've been pretty strict on that all my life because I know it's a slippery slope, But, as we talk about psychology and all the rest of it and keeping yourself alert and, if you're going to make good decisions when you're investing and stuff, you need to be on the ball. And if you're just completely hung over in the morning, you're reading the RNSs and you're in a daze. You're going to struggle to come up with good decisions, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, Monday to Friday, I don't drink heavily. I'll have a drink, maybe one drink, one can of something during the week. But Fridays is my main. I'll have a little. I'll let my hair down. What I've got left of it. And then Saturday, I have a bit more. Sunday, I tend not to drink. Sunday evenings. But yeah, I think this is it, Pete. I mean, we've all got to be alert. We've all got to be mindful. We've all got to look after ourselves. I think I read something somewhere that the companies that sell chocolate, we won't name any brands here, but
All right.
chocolate bars and people going into shops, whichever they go into, whether it be Tesco's or John Lewis or Waitrose or whatever, or Lidl or whatever, Morrison's, they're going back with X amount of chocolate bars, family size bars, Pete. Yeah, so
Wow.
the sales of chocolate has actually gone up. The sales of wine, going back to the alcohol, has gone up. Yeah, so it's like bars of chocolate, bottles of wine. That's it. I'm stocked up for the week. You know what I mean?
Hey, I heard today, I don't know if you picked up on this, there was some sort of, I think it's an AGM or something at Tesco's, yeah? And a shareholder action group of some sort, and they claimed they had like 100 people involved, and some were fund managers and whatever, were putting a resolution to Tesco's, because apparently you need 100 shareholders to enable you to raise a resolution or something. They were putting this resolution to Tesco's that Tesco's need to put more focus on healthy lifestyle foods, which I thought was interesting. I wonder if we're going to see that with other super, because they were only doing it with Tesco's at this point, but it was, it looks, maybe that's going to put more pressure on other supermarkets, and we'll see less promotions on the fatty foods and the sugary foods and stuff, and more, promotions on healthy lifestyle foods.
Yeah, I think this is this backlash, Pete, regarding obesity, and I think, given the fact that people are restricted by the weather now because the weather's not great, And then as I spoke to you a few minutes ago about comfort eating and chocolate and, and some of the foods that are on the shelves aren't the best for us, you know what I mean? So we are going to have a crisis, especially, and we've had a crisis before this, Pete, with our youngsters. A lot of families having that fast food sort of mentality and not actually making anything from fresh, struggling with the diets, and lots of our young people are overweight. But unfortunately, it's happening to our adults and has happened to adults as well regarding the poor diet. So that action group has been around for a little while to look at various companies to reduce the sugar. Remember the sugar campaign that they had in certain products? And it is the big thing about the obesity side of it, as we've spoken about before, is that there's certain bits of research has said that people that are overweight or of poor health because of obesity are likely to be at higher risk regarding COVID as well. So there's another combination there.
Well, it's interesting as well, because when you think about it, on the stock market in the UK, maybe some others abroad, there's not really that many stocks where you can say, yes, those are healthy lifestyle stocks. I mean, you could have said it about Gym Group, couldn't you? GYM. Because that's obviously, but they're not even allowed to open at the moment. And I think, is it Optibiotics Health, OPTI, something like that, which is like a drug development company that does sort of like fat reducing drugs or something like that. But I think it's, early stage and doesn't make any money and stuff like that. But I think it's, got promising technology from what I understand. But what else is there? I don't see many things that make me think, oh yeah, that's a healthy stock.
What's the one that Oprah owns? Weight Watchers does what? That's listed in the US, I think. Weight
Oh
Watchers.
yeah.
So other than that, Pete, I can't think of one.
Peloton in the US, isn't it?
Peloton, yeah, with the bikes. There's other
Do you think?
gym equipment companies as well. There's going to be a few more going down that route.
Well, it's probably like the vegetable, like the vegetable meat ones. Is it Beyond Meat?
Beyond Meat, yeah, they
Yeah,
exploded
Beyond
last year,
Meat.
didn't they? When was it, the year before last, when they had their
Yeah.
IPO?
But a lot of those are loss making and stuff. Sort of thing I'd be much interested in. So I think there are a few things around to play that healthy eating theme, but in many ways, perhaps more of the issue is that the supermarkets and that are going to get more hassle from government, more hassle. Well, it's not just them; it's the sugary drinks companies. They've already been under pressure to reformulate, haven't they?
Absolutely. And the likes of Tesco's and Co will go back to the manufacturers of the products and say, look, sort it out. It's not our problem. If you can't make it, we'll make it ourselves, And a lot of Tesco shelves now are getting filled out with their own brands, Pete. So, people have to be mindful of that as well.
Yeah, so I just think it's an interesting thing, an interesting theme, and it's also along the lines of all this ESG, environmental, social, and governance. It's like another field of that. Well, I suppose it's the
Yes.
social aspect, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's just another thing we need to think about in the mix, isn't it, really?
It is, mate. It is. Now, Pete, you briefly, and we got sidetracked. Sorry, I do apologise. You asked me about the you asked me about the markets. We've had an interesting week, Pete. The FTSE was doing reasonably well up until where are we now? Middle of
Last
last
week
week.
in January, wasn't it? It went a
Yeah.
bit rocky.
Middle of last week was doing all right, and then beginning of this week, Monday, we were up, and now we're back down again. I think it's this thing, Pete, whereby we have to be mindful that there's a lot of noise out there going on. And we spoke on the last podcast about GameStop and all the shenanigans going around that. And I think invariably a lot of cash was sucked out of the market. Last week or the week before, when GameStop actually peaked and then came down again, so a lot of money that was sloshing around in the US has probably been pulled out. Some of it's been pulled out of the market, so the US markets will probably be tempered, and when they have a cough, we get a sneeze or a flu over here. But invariably, the market that's been exceeding and doing reasonably well has been the our FTSE small cap, which over the past week is up 5% and more. And our FTSE AIM All Share as well has been outperforming the FTSE 100. The FTSE 100 is only up 0.7%, whereas the small cap is up more than 5%, and the FTSE AIM is up more than 4%. So, you know, I think a lot of the bargains to be had are in value-related stocks that have been dismissed and left, you know, for the past year and a half that are still really good value. And the smaller ended stocks at the bottom end of the market, and also some of the quality AIM stocks. And I know you lampoon a lot of the AIM stocks, Pete, but there are some good quality stocks out there, you know, if you, and I'm not saying you have to exclude all the miners or all the oil stocks, but there's some good innovative companies that are on AIM.
Oh yeah, I think the thing with AIM, isn't it, is that I think there's a lot of loss making innovative stuff, whatever, where you can probably make a nice quick turn on it, and you can probably, you know, buy it, hold it for a year, and you'll probably do quite well. But I think a lot of them as long term stocks aren't brilliant because they keep having dilutions and stuff like that. You do find some that sort of make the transition to actually making money, and they go on to become really great stocks, but I think they're pretty rare, to be honest. And I think if you look at a lot of the stocks that have done really well recently that are in that sort of like loss making kind of category, I suspect a lot of them are going to have some rocky rides ahead. So I think people need to be really, if they hold stocks like that and they've done well, you've got to be alert to if things go a bit wobbly on them. I think that's the general story over the years. They go up and down. I think that's pretty normal until they get to a stage where they're actually making money.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to give a shout out, and I can't put out all the names, so I won't put out any names, but I need to give a big shout out to all of the investors that we know and don't know, that we know, that are invested in an AIM stock which goes by the name of SDI Group, ticker symbol SDI. It appeared this morning that almost everybody on my Twitter feed was a holder of SDI Group.
Scientific Digital Imaging, is it?
Yeah, that's the old name. Yeah, it's now just SDI. It's the company designs and manufactures scientific technology products for the use in digital imaging and sensing and control applications in the life sciences, healthcare, arena. That's what it does. Yeah. And the shares, absolutely astonishing, really, today closed up 32.78%, and they're up 107% over the past 12 months. Came out with some really good news today, and the market and everybody else rejoiced. And so the stocks has absolutely popped. So to all those individuals out there that have shown the conviction, done their research and bought it, congratulations. I'm very, very pleased for you. And I think also, because the thing with these sort of stocks, Pete, is that invariably, you know, you've done your research, you've got a good feel about them, but every now and then they come back out and they surprise you, but not in a good way. So it's nice when they come out with something and you go, whew, you know what, I call that one right. So the trading update today was just music to people's ears, really.
Well, it's gangbusters, because I think it said for the current year they were going to exceed forecasts on revenue and profit, and for next year it was something like they were going to significantly exceed or something. So it was just like, wow, that's like bullish and bullish, you know.
Amazing.
And I guess it's fairly illiquid and stuff, so that helps it jump up nicely, because you're not, you know. But yes, that's brilliant. People have done so well on that one. But you know, it goes to show again that you don't need to buy the sort of junky loss-making stuff to still do flipping well, you know.
Exactly. I mean, I'm going to read the chairman's statement here. He says, Ken Ford, chairman of CDI, commented, "These are exceptional prospective outcomes in unprecedented times, during which the staff across SDI have executed on all aspects of our buy and build business model." So that, you know, he's just very, very chuffed with what's happened, mate. You know, smashed expectations, and you know, under these circumstances to come out with that, I think that's pretty exceptional. But as with all these things, folks, you know, just be mindful that the shares have come a significantly long way today and over the past 12 months. So just be mindful not to chase if you don't have to, and just watch the stock, because it was Unloved and Unwanted last March, Pete. It was at
Okay.
36 pence, yeah. And
Awesome.
today, 11 months later, it's at £1.60.
Lovely, lovely.
So just be careful, folks. It's done well, and congratulations to everybody on that one.
I got a feeling that if you look in the update, they've got several divisions and stuff, obviously. I got a feeling they said there's a couple of divisions that aren't even firing on all cylinders at the moment. They've been subdued because of the crisis. So once those start firing on all cylinders as well, that I'd imagine the outlook for that company for the next few years is probably pretty promising. So if I held it, I wouldn't be selling it. And if I was interested in buying
No.
it, I'd be really looking closely at what I think it's able to do as forecast earnings in coming years. It does
Agreed. For me, it's about if you're in a sweet spot now, Pete, under all this noise and all this difficulty, yeah, and the arena and the niches that you're in are growth areas, yeah, then you're going to do even better when all this other noise has dissipated, you know. So yeah.
And we know they're quite an acquisitive business, so the chances are they're going to be acquiring other things. They've got a pretty strong balance sheet from what I remember, so that will add more earnings and stuff as well. So I would think you've got a good few years of a decent possibility there.
Yeah, and it's only a small AIM stock. It's only at the minute 118, 120 million market cap. So, you know, it's got room to grow. It's one of those sort of innovative companies, like you say. It's acquisitive. It knows what it wants. It knows where it wants to go, and it's got a long runway, as we say. So yeah, so that's one definitely to watch.
Mate, on the indexes, a couple of things I just want to throw in that FTSE 100 is quite interesting because it's really struggling at the 50-day MA line, moving average line. Not the EMA, not the exponential moving average, just the normal moving average. You've got that 50-day line, it's capping it every day and has done for about 6 or 7 days now. Every time it gets up near there, it drops back. And it's done it again today. And I've got a small short, a very, very tiny short on the FTSE 100. I did have a lot more short, but I closed that very quickly at the start of last week, which actually turned out to be a very good decision. But I've still got this little short on, and I'm wondering if I'm going to end up adding to that short or whether it's going to be able to get some upside momentum again. So it's on one of those sort of like knife edge situations where either we start to get weaker or we manage to recover. Okay, it's always going to be like that, isn't it? But I do feel we're at a sort of juncture where something's going to happen.
It's a difficult one with the FTSE, Pete, because we tend to just, I don't want to say mimic, but we tend to mimic what's going on in the US markets. So when they have a strong day, we tend to have a strong day. And I mean, me being the cautious person, I just remind people where we were last February, and we were again last February, you know, not sure what was going on regarding COVID. Markets were still doing okay in early February. And then wallop, you know, we got absolutely cream crackered in March. So just remember, you know, we're only 12 months away from when the market gave us all psychology lessons. So just prepare and be mindful that if you've got a stock which has done extremely well, you know, think about what you want to do with that position, whether it's now above where it should be to trim it, or whether or not, you know, you need to exit it. Or whether or not you actually want to say, you know what, the markets are going to be bullish going forward, so therefore I want to add. You have to make these decisions, you know, but don't be surprised if the markets, you know, put your head in a spin. But technically, Pete, that the moving averages for the FTSE 100 on a technical basis, it's a sell at the minute. It's a strong sell.
Really, what are you? How are you judging that?
I'm looking at the moving average. 50-day moving average, and we it's a buy at 6522 for me, the technicals that I use, Pete. Yeah, and what did we finish today? Finished today at 6524. Yeah, finished at 6524, I think. It's a buy at on a moving average, 50-day moving average of 6522. On the exponential, it's a sell at 50-day, exponential at 6526, 20-day, 6534, exponential, same again for the moving average of 20 days, more
So
closer up.
what's your signal there? What's your signal? So is it if it goes below those lines,
If
is
it
it
goes
or?
below, then it's a sell. Yeah, so we're below on the on obviously on a week basis, on a simple moving average, 5 day, 6537, Pete, is a sell. We're below that, right? 10 day moving average, 6540, signal is a sell. 20 day moving average, 6534, a sell. We're below that. Yeah. Now we just managed to close just above the moving average for 50 day. The 50 day moving average is 6522. We finished at 6524. Yeah. But if you what how I get to whether it's a sell or not, Pete, is I look at all the moving averages, right? So I'm looking at the 5 day, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 100, the 200, yeah. And I'm looking at the exponential. I'm looking at how many of those come up as sell, yeah, in comparison to where the actual market finished. And I've taken overall. Are you with me?
That's cool. I mean, the one I really like is the 1321 cross.
30, and you've been spot on with that. That's been a really good marker, mate.
Well, it's interesting that one did a bear cross about 2 weeks ago.
And where is
So that
what's it saying today?
it's
Or
bear mode. It's bear mode, the
bear mode.
1301.
So there you go.
So
So
it's quite a
there's
good
indicators
predictor.
of a sell then. Yeah.
Say for instance we did get a bit of weakness. I mean, there is quite good support down at sort of 6,000 and just below. So it may not mean that we're going to have like an almighty collapse or anything silly, but I could easily see us being in a bit of a range or something.
Yeah, I mean, and it's people like round numbers, Pete. And the next real one, really, we need to watch is 6,500. You know, we needed to have just cracked that 7,000 when we had the opportunity, and we didn't. And now we've rolled over a little bit. And we've got a habit of just, being range bound. You know, it almost feels like, all the other markets are going, we're at a high, woohoo, we're at a high, woohoo, and the FTSE's going, what about me? You know what I mean? It's
The
just
3100 seems, I mean, it must be that skew of the, what is it, the top 10 companies in the FTSE 100 account for something like 40% of the weighting or something. It's something ridiculous. And they must be skewing the index something rotten, because if you look around, you've got the Nasdaq, was touching all-time highs yesterday. The S&P 500 the same. The Dow is right up there. The Nikkei is at like a 30-year high or something. It's not its all-time, but it's at like a 30-year high. The DAX, the German DAX, is very near its all-time high. The CAC 40, the French one, is lagging a bit. That's been a bit behind.
The problem we've got with the FTSE 100, Pete, it are those top 10, 15 companies. I'm going to shout them out for you now. So you tell me which one of these is actually doing well at the moment or year to date, right? Unilever, not so well. Yeah. What we both hold, AstraZeneca, not doing so well. Yeah.
Can come off,
HSBC is constantly on a mire of litigation or not doing so well. Yeah. Rio Tinto has actually done well year to date. The miners have done okay so far. Yeah, commodities are going up. Diageo, we spoke about booze. They're thereabouts are doing okay, right? Glaxo Welcome, not done so well for a long time. Yeah, and it just keeps going lower, right? British American Tobacco, there or thereabouts, not had a bad year because people are at home. And bizarrely, because they're at home, they're smoking more, I think. Emerging markets are doing okay. Royal Dutch Shell has been there or thereabouts for the past year, and got its issues. BP got its issues. So, what else have we got? Royal Dutch Shell, we've already said that. London Stock Exchange, been there or thereabouts. Just finished buying Refinitiv. Reckitt and Beckoniser, there or thereabouts. We haven't got a company. Oh, sorry, one other company that's done reasonably well recently, BHP. So you look at all those, and I've gone through probably about 15 of them. We haven't got any stock that's going gangbusters. We haven't got a Tesla that's shooting through everything. We haven't got a Microsoft that's going whoosh. Yeah? We haven't got an Apple going whoosh. We haven't got any stock that's on a global scale that's knocking the doors off. That's why it's not doing so well, Pete.
Oh, definitely. Hey, while I think of it, because I've got a terrible habit of forgetting things, I was watching that Sky News this morning with the Ian King. You know, he does like the 10 o'clock, isn't it, on Sky News, and he does like a business bit. Yeah, and I just have it on in the background. And they were talking about Mike Lynch from Autonomy, and how he's up for like extradition to America for like fraud. For you know, when Hewlett Packard bought Autonomy, and now the finance director has got done for fraud, I think. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, I mean that's a big story. It's been going on for quite a few years, Pete. I
Oh,
think
yeah.
I'm not sure which way it's going to go.
They mentioned there was a mate, do you know there's I think it's like a cyber security company or something that I think is listing in the US that has got some connection to Mike Lynch and the guy who was the finance director at Autonomy. I can't remember what it's called. Do you know the one? I think it's due to float. It's quite a like high profile float. Dark something?
Darktrace.
Darktrace, that's the kid.
Darktrace, yeah, the cybersecurity company. It's going to be a massive IPO that when it comes. I think he's got links to that. Yeah, I think so, from what I recall. I could be wrong though, Pete.
I think they were early investors in it or something. So we need to be a bit mindful of that, I think. You know, it's like, oh, hang on, you
Well,
know.
hopefully there's not a knock-on effect and they're completely isolated entities. There's something, Pete. I'm not sure if you saw this, and hopefully this will cheer some people up. I'm sure they've all seen it now. But we're talking about this case, this Mike Lynch extradition hearing has been going on today, and been going on and off forever. There was a lawyer that went onto Zoom, and he didn't realise that one of his children or somebody had been on his Zoom account, and there
All
was a cat talking, or a cat, pussycat talking, rather than the lawyer, when he went into this very, very big, big, big call. So he's like, and he had to explain, "Look, it's me. I am the real lawyer. I am not the cat."
that is a classic, but I look like
So
a tapping.
that went live,
Oh my
but
goodness.
yeah.
That's shocking. Imagine that, mate. Imagine you're in like this really serious legal thing, and the cat appears and starts talking at you.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. But yeah, the Mike Lynch situation is huge, Pete. And there are ties between Mike Lynch and the cybersecurity giant Darktrace. So people have to be watching that and see what does that actually mean, and what does it mean for the integrity of the various. And again, it goes back to the accountancy companies, doesn't it? Who were involved? Was it Deloitte with this one? I'm not sure which one it was.
I don't know.
But yeah, it makes you question really what's going on. And then you've got this thing, Pete, that was kicking off about compliance and litigation and the rights and responsibility of the board of companies. And it's going to mean that companies are going to have to ensure the board and the people that are working in these companies to a higher degree. And they have to sign off these accounts, which we're doing before. Where if they're proven to be wrong or error strewn or fraudulent, these CEOs, CFOs, and blah, 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 NEDs are going to be liable potentially going forward. That's a massive, massive thing that's going to
Yeah,
change.
I heard something about this. It's because it's also knocking on to liability
That's
insurance,
the one.
personal
That's the one.
liability insurance, and it
That's the one.
seems, from what I'm picking up, there seems to be a general rise across pretty much every insurance area. Premiums are going up, so we're talking there about personal liability, but it's also like motor insurance rates are going up, catastrophe rates are going up. Obviously, you've got, you know, there was this ruling where businesses can now claim against insurance companies for the C-19 hit from the lockdown and stuff. So that's all pushing up premium rates. I mean, bizarrely though, when premium rates are rising, that's often good for insurance stocks. So maybe there's an opportunity there. If people look at insurance stocks and have a nose at them, there may be something there. I
That
don't
was
know.
going to be exactly my point of thread, Pete. Do some research, ladies and gents. Have a look at these insurance companies. Have a look at which one's performing best, and consider which ones could actually benefit from this change in policy and this increase in premiums going forward. Because the majority of the ones that we've got in the UK are still unloved. They're undervalued compared to where they were 2 or 3 years ago. and I suspect there's going to be further consolidation in that space. So give that a consideration.
Well, there's like Beazley, isn't there? Is that BEZ, I think?
There's Beazley, there's Legal & General, there's Aviva, there's Lancashire Group, there's Hitchcock's. There's a few out there, Pete.
There's, what's it called? Yeah, Lancashire, that's LRE, isn't it? Yeah. And did I see that one of them's got taken over? Is it RSA Insurance, isn't it? What was Royal Sun Alliance? That's been taken over, I think, or it's in the process of a takeover bit.
I thought that was had gone a while back, Pete. Maybe I'm
okay. Wrong. It's still ongoing then. I saw it on the RNS list recently. Yeah, but no, that could be interesting there. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, it's still going on. It's like you say. Sorry, apologies. Mm. Yeah. So no. They had an updated recommended offer on the. Today. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's updated. So what was that? Announcement to the recommended cash offer at RSA on the 18th of November last year. Intact Financial announced today that it has reported the results. Yeah, still ongoing, Pete. Yeah, okay. I think that's more or less finished now.
What I think of it, on the last podcast, TPI 41, we have mentioned this on Twitter, and I think we put it on our website and all sorts of stuff. I got confused between two stocks. I kept calling Supermarket Right, S-U-P-R. I kept calling it P-R-S-R, which is P-R-S Right. So just to clarify any confusion there.
I don't think I helped with your confusion though, Pete, because I was taking you down that track.
I was so befuddled. I was looking at my thing thinking, where is that? Why can't I find it on my phone? Mm. So, yeah, right. Mate, what other stuff you want to cover then?
I want to talk about a couple of questions that have been raised, Pete, and I know you've got a few that have been raised around conviction, right? And I wanted to talk to you and you to use the example, really, because for me, conviction in a stock is when you've researched it, you know what you've got, you know what the milestones will be if they reach these particular targets to continue to hold it, and you know what the milestones will be if they fail. To maybe reconsider the fact that you had the conviction for it, but it's not happening for a variety of different reasons, and to bail. You know, don't be holding a stock just because you're so convicted to it. Yeah. Mm. Hold it because it's still executing on what it said it was going to do. And if it's not executing, consider the fact that you might need to exit the stock. Yeah. But if it's executing, carry on holding it. That to me is conviction. And that means being convicted to the stock, regardless of what the general market is doing. The general market can go down 5, 10, 15%. But if you're holding the stock and it's impacted by it and it also goes down 10, 15%, you should be holding that stock if nothing has changed but the general market. Yeah?
You
mentioned, Pete, during the week that you'd sold TSTL, yeah?
Yeah, TriStyle.
Yeah, but you'd held that for a little while. So I thought it would be really good if you shared with us the beginning. When you did your research, you found it, the price you bought it at, why you held it from that date, yeah, all the different tribulations and turbulence that you had to put up with to this week, trimming it, reducing it, and making a really good profit from it.
Yeah, well, I think, that has worked out brilliantly. I picked some up at 44p, and I've just sold it at way high, like, I don't know, 6.65 or something, 6.55 I think I sold it at.
Brilliant.
And I also noticed I picked a load up at 75 as well. So I've got some, I think most of it I picked up sort of at those kind of levels. So I've got an absolutely juicy profit. And I've already top sliced it. I sold a load probably 2 years ago, something like that. So I've already reduced my sort of exposure to it. But it's just been brilliant, just keeps going. To be honest with you, I can hardly remember where I found it, but I obviously read about it somewhere and sort of like looked at it and thought, well, actually, what I liked about it is they do like sterilization of endoscopes. So it's like they've got a thing called the TriStyle wipe system, where basically endoscopes, which are like sort of like probes and things that are shoved into holes in people's bodies.
Don't go there again, mate.
Yeah, I think we've had, yeah. And what I liked about it was that it's the only one that uses a particular form. I think it's chlorine based or something, whereas all the other ones are some different chemical technology. and this one was like chlorine based, and it seemed to be getting extremely good scientific journal responses and stuff, saying, you know, the TriStar wipes is the best system, kind of thing. And they sold loads of it to the NHS, and then they've been expanding abroad and whatever. And the big exciting story is the move to America, you know, because they do the wipes of the probes and stuff, but they also do sterilizing stuff for cleaning surfaces and stuff. But they also do it for pets, you know, for animals, yeah? So it's like an animal version for endoscopes and things. And so they've been trying to get some of their sterilizing stuff approved by the FDA, you know, the federal, what is it, the Food and Drug Administration in America. And obviously, if they can get that approval, and then they can build from there. I mean, the American market is just immense, obviously. So that's like where the big excitement is. But they're already in Europe and things and various other places. So it's, I mean, over the years I've held it, I've probably held it for like 5, 6, 7 years or something. It's, you know, in terms of the business, it has continued to expand. They're always going into new territories. They're always doing new stuff and expanding what they've got and expanding the products. And it had a bit of a COVID-19 angle, because obviously the sterilizing side of things, which I think part of the reason it's done so well recently. But I got to the stage where it had grown to be about 6.5% of my portfolio, and it had done really well. And I think the forward PE is up to about 45 or 50 or something. So it's getting a pretty high rating. And I'm thinking, you know, the higher this rating goes, the more risk there is built into it. And like I say, at 6.5% of my portfolio, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to slice some off. And I sliced it back to 4. So I'm still holding 4.5% of my portfolio in it. So we've still got quite a big chunk. But I just wanted to de-risk it. I'm just not comfortable letting things grow too much, you know, so they become overweight in your portfolio and sort of skew your portfolio. So if then they do get a problem, say for instance it was to fall 20-30% on a profit warning or something, which can happen to any stock at any time.
Indeed.
Then, you know, it would absolutely massacre my portfolios. It's like all the hard work I've done would just be destroyed by one stock and one event. So I'm always wary about how big I let positions get. I've got like limits, you know, and being a small stock, I won't let it grow as big as I would a bigger stock, you know.
That makes sense. So going back, Pete, I just wanted to get a feel for when you bought this. Were you buying this in 2014, 16, 15? When were you buying it initially?
Yeah, way back then. I mean, like I say, I bought a load of, some at 44, some at 70, well, loads around, yeah. 70, 75. So I'd probably buy in the bulk, I don't know, it might have been like 2014 or something. But
cool. No, mate, that's really good. I mean, because one of the issues that people have is that they want to have successful stocks, they want to hold on to them, right? But all the stats will say, you know, you ask anybody that's on Twitter, how long have you held that stock? The majority of them have held their go-to stock for 3, maybe 4 years. There's very few that have held anything beyond 5 years, and that's when the real money's made, I think, regarding stocks. Because if they've actually executed on what they said they were going to do, they've done it over a period of 3, 2, 5 and more years. You know, it's very rarely they do what they say they're going to do within 3 years, and you get the opportunity to have a stock go up fivefold or tenfold. You know,
I think one of the things, me and you have talked about this, but I don't think we've necessarily talked about it on the podcast. I remember we had a discussion outside of the podcast where we were talking about we need to bring it up. And I think this is the concept that I think sometimes you can overcomplicate things. And I think what happens is people obsess about the perfect stock. People want to hold the perfect stock. So what I mean by that is it's like, every single aspect of this stock, so whether you're talking about its distribution, its valuation, its balance sheet, its directors, its, I don't know, everything about this stock, yeah, is brilliant, right? And you want everything to be tick, 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 all down your list of everything's brilliant about this stock. I think that's unrealistic. I think the reality is, even the perfect stock, there are less good aspects about that company or about that stock as a stock or as a company. Yeah, you just can't get perfection. And I think if you go around looking for perfection, you're going to drive yourself nuts. And
you will drive yourself nuts, or you won't if that's your, you know, that's what you like. You know, and everyone will say, you know, Pete, but you're, you know, Conkers, you're a nerd. All you do is research stocks, you know. And the for me, it's not about finding the perfect stock, Pete. I'm in agreement with you, because invariably, depending on if you're looking for the perfect filters and the perfect filters, right, for that perfect stock, you end up buying the same stock. You look at what's going on Twitter and the people that we know, and the, you know, you pick out 100 people that we know on Twitter, right, and they will, if there's four core stocks that have met that filter, they will all have that stock, right? So they'll all have Games Workshop, yeah? They'll all have SDI, yeah? They'll all have AAZ, right? Because it fits that particular metric.
Yeah.
Yeah? And before that, it was Fevertree, yeah? They all had that stock, and invariably, you know, maybe it's this thing about security and numbers, and, you know, I don't want to pick a stock out on my own, but invariably for me, and I think for you as well, Pete, is that when you go away from where everyone else is picking and eating the same fruit, you have better results, because eventually that stock does become a better stock or a more perfect stock or eventually a perfect stock, and that's when they want to buy it. You know, and by that time you bought that at 44 pence or 75 pence, but you're only just finding it now at £5. And yeah, you aren't saying go and buy it at £5, but they're saying it's now right for me, it meets my metric. Yeah, and I'd rather buy it when it was imperfect at 44 or 75 like you did, rather than buying it at £6 after it's gone up 15-fold. I don't want to be buying something, Pete, after it's gone up 10-fold. Yeah?
Well, it's interesting because one of the ones that, when I sold a bit of my TST, I had a bit of cash and I was thinking, what was I going to put it into? And I put some of it into BAR, Brand Architects, which is like probably my real favourite stock at the moment. And it's funny because I bought some Brand Architects, I don't know, a month ago or something, and it's done nothing since I bought it. You know, it's done absolutely nothing. So I pretty much topped up at the same price that I'd already bought some at. But I'm relaxed about it because I think the potential is so good that I'm quite happy to be building my position in it now while no one's interested in it, to be quite honest, on the expectation that at some point it's going to come out with a really good trading update and then everybody will want to own it and then we'll see it shoot up. That's what I'm hoping will happen. But it's interesting because it's that idea of buying stuff when no one else wants it, really.
Oh, that's my way of going about it, Pete. I prefer to do the buying when no one else is. Do my research when other people are gone into hiding because the markets haven't done very well. I like to look at stuff when they're nearer to the lows, Pete, you know, and this is why, you know, people have bored me talking about researching stocks. But once you learn and you're able to and you've got the time to do the research, you can find some really, really good stocks out there, you know, because, you know, we've had more and more takeovers already this year, Pete. And there's going to be some more going on in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years.
Oh, sure.
And we're going to go, oh, crikey, I could have had that 30, 40% lower, you know, had I not been for the research. But it's there. And I think the beauty of what we're able to do is that we've got additional time on our hands to find these gems, Pete.
Yeah, I guess that helps. You know, the fact that we're both full-time investors means that we do have that advantage that we're less prep, you know. If you're working 40, 50 hours a week and you've got other constraints on your time with families and stuff, your time available for your investing activities is considerably curtailed. So you're almost having to follow tips and follow everyone else's ideas because you just don't have time to sort of hunt out your own. I think there's a lot of that.
You do, but there's a danger, Pete. When we saw that only recently with the stock HEIQ, which lots of people were talking about, had a really good IPO and it was absolutely flying. And invariably, I think quite a few people got into that belatedly. And the stock had gone up significantly. It was at £2.50 or there or thereabouts on the 25th of January. And then Bosch, you know, X amount of trading days later, it was down at 165. So if you were one of them people buying it nearer to £2.50, you'd not be happy, you know, 2 days afterwards,
Oh,
you know, holding it at 165.
yeah. That's the one that does like, is it like some special impregnated clothing material or something that's supposed to be virus killing or something? Is that right? Something like
Yeah,
that.
it's there or thereabouts, Pete. It's not a bad description of it all, really. You know what I mean?
You see how much attention I pay to it.
Develops technologies that adds functionality, comfort, hygiene, and sustainability to existing apparel, home textiles, technical textiles, and medical textiles. So yeah, so it's a really good IPO. Lots of people got into it at lower to a pound. It popped beyond. What was it? I think it's about two. I think it went to about £2.50, yeah, in January, and then it just fell away down towards 160, and it's sitting at 177 now. So all I'm trying to say is, don't chase stocks just because lots of people are talking about it. Do your research, have a look where it's been, in a sense of how fast and far has it moved so quickly and why, and think, am I buying at the top? Am I at risk here buying it now after it's doubled in the space of a couple of weeks? You
Yeah,
know,
I'm
if that's the
like,
case. So September, you know, it was what? Nearer to what? 70 pence, Pete. You know, and then
yeah.
in a couple of months later, you're paying £2.50. So just be careful of those sort of things. That's all I'm saying.
On TSTL, another couple of things. You mentioned how when the market goes into a mood, I used to make this mistake a lot. And I keep saying it, my biggest mistake is selling good stocks too early. And what I used to do was the market would, you know, obvious that the market was going to have a wobble. And what I would do is sell quite a few of my stocks and move into cash. And invariably, I'd be selling good stocks because of that. And that's something I don't do now. And that's part of the reason I'd rather hedge. You know, so I'm covering the downside risk in the market by using shorts on indexes to hedge it. But so that was one reason that I held on to TSTL. But the other thing on TSTL was that, you know, it had some not so positive news on the way. And I remember one of the things that people kept picking up on was like directors' option payments. It seemed to have quite, you know, quite often giving very generous options to the directors and stuff, and a lot of people were selling out of TSTL and put off because of that. And it did sort of bug me, but I sort of looked at it and weighed it up, and I thought, yeah, but you know, is the company going to do well or is it not going to do well? And whether it's got these high option payments or not, I'm not really sure whether that's really that material, you know, to the share price going up. And as it was, luckily I held on to it, but it sort of indicates how lots of things that you can call noise can derail you from a really good investment. And in many ways, you've got to do your research and get your commitment early on and really grip hold of this stock. And you've got to sort of hold it really damn tight. And you've got to have a very, very good reason to sell that stock. And what I try to do now is if I get nervous and think I need to sell, then I try to top slice a bit as opposed to selling the complete holding.
I think that's a sensible way of going about it, Pete. I want to caveat something though and give an example regarding that. Is that be mindful, right, when a CEO or CFO or a large shareholder in the company that you're holding is selling the stock, even though the stock is one of those everyone loves and it's going to go places and blah 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 blah. When the CEO, CFO and other entities are selling large tranches of the shares, be mindful, because no matter how much conviction you or me have got in that stock, there could be reasons why they are selling at this juncture. And invariably, sometimes they know what's going on better than you and I do, or any of the analysts do. And an example of that, Pete, is Manolet. Have you heard of Manolet? Ticker
Oh,
symbol
Mano,
MAN.
yeah,
Yeah,
Mano.
MANO. And this stock is sitting at, I don't know, 52-week lows at the minute. It's down 54% over the course of 1 year, 32% year to date. You know, we're 6 weeks in, if that. and it's 32% down. And so you'd have thought, okay, it's not doing so well. It's down. Lots of people got conviction in the stocks. Fair play to them. It's going down. Other people are seeing that it's potentially a bargain. So what do you see today? You see the chief exec, Stephen Cuckling, selling a further 250,000 shares near the low. And this is part of a transaction that completes a sell order that he had, selling 1 million shares. He's still got, he's still going to have after this 15% of the company. But what does that tell you if he's selling at the bottom? What does that engender confidence in the share? Should I go and buy now that he's dumped 1 million shares near the lows of the 52-week lows?
Did the share price fall when he first announced that he was... Because he was selling it in four chunks, wasn't he? Or something like that. I think I noticed that on the RNS. So did he announce, I'm going to sell 1 million shares, and then it fell? Or has it already fallen, then he says, I'm going to sell 1 million shares?
It was a combination of a pretty dire profit warning, Pete, and others, and him instigating a sell on it as well. It's not been great news for that company for a little while. And speaking to people that, you know, that work and are aware of that particular space, what you've got to remember with litigation is that these things don't always go to plan, and they take a long time for cases to be heard, and they take a long time for the remedy, as in the redress, as in you've been found guilty, you pay this company X, Y, and Z. It takes a long time. And with COVID, these things are taking even longer. I know they're doing cases and we can talk about, we won't talk about Trump and what's going on with him, but, you know, that's going to have to happen, right? These cases have to happen eventually, and they'll just take too long, Pete. So therefore, as this person I've been speaking to who works into that in this field, there's going to be a lag. There's going to be a drag. So the profitability of Mandalay could drag, and the others related to that could drag. Insolvency cases could drag. So, and financing them, you know, whilst the financiers who normally would finance these sort of cases also know there's a drag, it just means that, you know, the company's not in the best niche or the strongest niche right now. So what would I prefer to buy? I prefer, you know, going back to the alcohol we started with, Pete, I prefer to buy a company that's involved in chocolate, hot chocolate. I prefer to buy them going into Easter and Valentine's, right? I prefer to buy Diageo, because people are still boozing. I wouldn't be buying Manolet right now until I know that all this finishing, you know, going from nearly £6 to under £2 is over with. It just feels like a falling knife that could continue to fall. That's all I'm saying. And for people that are in it, I wish you well, and I hope that it bounces back soon, but I don't know where it's going. I just think it's a difficult one to call the bottom on this one.
So Manolet, is that a bit like Burford, you know?
Or a little bit, Pete. Yeah, they're both in the same litigation space, you know?
Because one that I was going to bring up as a possible that might be worth thinking about buying, but after the discussion we've just had, I'm now wondering if it's such a good and that's RBGP, which is the cup. So RB Group or something. It used to be, or it contains Rosenblatt Solicitors. Now it seems to have a bit of a litigation arm, which I guess is like Man Elite, but it's also got a division that's a bit like Burford, where it does litigation cases, but it's only a small part of it from what I understand. And they've only started that fairly recently is how I've sort of seen it. But also it seems to have similarities to a law company. So like Ihull Gately, GTLY, it seems to have similarities to that in some of its divisions. So it's a bit of a sort of hodgepodge, I think. But, you know, on the raw numbers, I mean, it's on like a PE of 12 and it's due to pay 5% dividends. So I don't know. Maybe it's one to look at and think about. Maybe it's not the right time to be buying it. I don't know.
For me, Pete, that stock has done reasonably well since the beginning of January. It was sub 60 pence. It's there at 88 pence now. It's not one that I would buy in the current environment. And I think people need to research what's behind the rise since the beginning of or the middle of January, going from where it was then to what it is now. I suspect a lot of people have been buying it because they think and hope that the business, the niches that it's in, is going to go from strength to strength going forward. But it's one of those companies, mate, that came out gangbusters with an IPO and has never really recovered from where it was IPO'd. So at some point or other, the people that are in that group will want it to perform well and be wedded to it, and hopefully, you know, they'll get earnings upgrades. But it's just not in the niche for me, Pete, you know.
I guess it's one to look at and see what you think, really.
People need to do the research and don't take any notice of who's talking the stock up or talking the stock down, and do the research themselves and decide whether or not they want to pay, you know, what is nearly 60% more than what the share was three weeks ago.
Mate, I'm aware of the time because it's coming up to like 5 to 7.
Yeah, we've been running exactly 1 hour, Pete. And before we say anything else, I just want to say this to everybody, because we haven't managed to say it yet and we should have said it already, is to thank everyone wherever you are in the world. We've had, I think you confirmed to me, Pete, that this is a lady, Chintan Mahida, at Chintan Mahida.
Yeah.
We've been having various conversations with Chintan. We've now discovered that Chintan's not in Bhutan, but in fact, currently in Menorca, the two vastly different places, you know, on different continents as well. So we just wanted to give a shout out to Chintan Mahida. Thank you for all your feedback and your support. And also, we've been having another chat. Maybe because we've got such great looks for radio, Pete, we're attracting these ladies, I'm not sure. We've got Bonnie Voiceover as well. He's been posing a few questions to us and giving us really great feedback. But thank everybody from wherever you are in the world for your feedback and your retweets and all the rest of it. And of course, if you're enjoying this podcast, guys, ladies, gents, wherever you are, just share it with other people. Yeah, just retweet it or wherever platforms you're on and just say, look, listen to this, blah, 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 blah. And also I wanted to thank the individuals as well, because this Twin Peaks challenge that Pete and I are doing and supporting for the Memphis charity that works with disabled children and provide services to the disabled children and their parents and their carers, that's ongoing, folks. So if you've enjoyed any of the podcasts we've done, and this is our 42nd now, and they've helped you with your research, your thinking, your psychology, your mindfulness, and also whether or not you've profited from doing some research in some of the stocks that Pete and I have spoken about, please consider making a little donation to the charity on the page that we've got. That's Just Giving Twin Pete's Challenge, just to do a Google search on that. And it'll also be on Pete's website and my website.
Yeah, at conquersfree.com. I will do that. I am going to do it.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you ever so much. But what did you want to finish on, Pete? You wanted to speak about a couple of stops. We've got a couple of minutes.
Well, I just want to mention Duke quickly, which is Duke Royalty.
Go for it.
Which is one that I've been interested in for a long time, and I don't know why I haven't bought it. It was actually raised to me some while after they floated or whatever. A lovely bloke called Dave. Dave, he's at Dave in the Lakes, who's on Twitter, and he's a really good guy, Dave. And he actually lives up in the Lake District. Imagine what a lovely place to live, isn't it? Mind you, it's probably a bit cold this time of year. But anyway, he raised it to me initially, and I wasn't sure back then. And I sort of looked at it, and I thought, I do like the look of it. And the thing that's really attractive, it's got this massive dividend. I think the price I paid for it the other day, it's something like 6.8% dividend yield, and it's due to rise to over 7% next year.
Okay.
What it is with Duke, they're quite unusual because they, rather than lending companies money as a normal loan, they do effectively what is a royalty loan. So if people are into mining and they're aware of Anglo-Pacific APF, then that does mining royalties, where the money that APF gets back depends on the revenue that's taken from selling the commodities, of the companies they've got as royalty partners. Well, it's a similar thing with Duke, but Duke does it with small companies that are established and ongoing sort of thing. So, for instance, one of the companies that they've got a royalty in sort of indirectly, is Pearl and Dean, the cinema advertiser.
Wow.
Yeah, you
Okay.
know the
Oh,
one?
great memories, Pete. Great memories.
Oh man. But I mean, I imagine that must be an absolute disaster at the moment. So anyway, so they've got something like 12 royalty partners. Now, I actually tweeted out a table today on my tweet of the companies that Duke are have got as royalty partners, who they basically lent money to, and they now get a payment back. It's got a cap and a collar, and it's dependent on the revenue that the company makes. Yeah. And anyway, what I actually had a long discussion with the CEO and some other geezers at an investor show. I think it was the Shares Magazine Technical Innovation Show thing that they have in Islington. This was probably like a year and a half ago. I think you were there, Pete.
Okay.
I had a long chat with him, and I was really impressed. And yet, for some reason, I never got around to investing in it, and I was always like, just didn't do it. And what always concerned me was I always thought, well, how are they going to do in an economic slowdown? And that was always what held me back, you know. And anyway, obviously we've now had an economic slowdown. And to be honest, they've come out of it pretty well. I think the shares had got up to 50 pence, and they dropped down. I think I paid 29 the other day. They might have gone as low as 20 or something in the big sell-off, or worse, I'm not sure. But when you look at how the business has done, yes, they've had some of their royalty partners have not been able to pay them money, and they've actually converted some of those payments into more into equity in these companies. So they've sort of like, managed around it. But what's happening now is the situation we're in now, they're actually getting more money every quarter or every month or whatever it is from those royalty companies than they were 6 months, 9 months ago. So the trend is improving. And like I said, it's due to pay 7.3% dividend yield next year, and it looks like they're going to be able to cover that pretty nicely. So yeah, it looks interesting. I like it.
Okie dokie. I want you to touch on Pete, and I'm just thinking about. I was thinking all the way through this conversation. You mentioned a health related sort of stock to play,
Oh yeah.
and one of them's come out actually with a good quarterly profit, and it's an American company. I always like to throw an American company in there, and it's called Under Armour. Yeah.
Under Armour,
The
yeah.
apparel company. They sponsor loads of sports companies, and they used to be the go-to company.
Is that like underpants and stuff? Boxer shorts.
It's like giving you the Under Armour, Pete.
Why
Like,
would
you know, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. So that's a stock to for people to investigate. It came out with some quarterly results today that were obviously quite good. Share price is up 7%. The 52-week range is $6.37 to 1962. So it's near its highs. But I think, you know, given where it's been before, over the X amount of years, and the fact that we're in lockdown and people are buying more and more, oh, I nearly said PE kit then. That's how old I am. PE kit, crikey.
Themselves.
Work outwear, gym kit. So yeah, I think that could do okay going forward, and it could surprise going forward, in the sense that people are buying more and more apparel to do running and work out indoors. And back onto the Peloton theme, Pete, people are
Yeah.
buying all this kit to work out in the garages, to work out in the bedrooms, to work out in the front rooms, to work out wherever they can, and do this cycling, rowing, and so on and so forth in their own homes, because they're not able to go to the gym at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're buying all of that stuff, maybe you're getting yourself some new t-shirts, some new tops, some new this, that, and the other apparel to work out in. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So
Do you
that to
know the
me is
Epic? Do you know the TIDM code for
the
that?
Epic is $UA.
UA, cheers. Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's my, you know, throwing a stock out there for people to research stock, US one, UA.
Oh, that's cool. Mate, before I forget, We've had a couple of questions from people regarding spread betting. We're not going to be able to cover it in this episode. We'll try and cover it in a future one. So I just want to say hi to Pritesh Patel. He's always been a good supporter of ours. And also there was a guy called, I think he's called Rick. Yeah, Rick Rocks 81. So we haven't forgotten you guys. We will get round to your questions, but just not today because we've run out of time as usual.
Absolutely. And the thing I wanted to give a shout out to as well is that Pete and I have got a very good friend called Dave Atherton. Have I got that right, Pete?
Dave, yeah. Dave Atherton, yeah. Good lad.
David Atherton. And he's an absolute legend when it comes to spread betting. You can find him at Atherton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's A.D. Atherton. And he's a whiz when it comes to the technicals, the spread bets, benefit of how to do it properly, blah, 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 blah. So shout out there for David Atherton. And he's a really, really good guy. He's very generous with his time and he's very, very giving regarding passing on information so everybody can get better at it. But that's who I'd recommend speaking to, Pritesh, as well. And we'll speak about it a bit on here as well at some point.
Cool.
Okay, Pete? You there, mate?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we go?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it there. You know, like I say, mate, there's a million topics. We'll cover them in the next podcast. And I hope everyone has a great week or a great 2 weeks. And like I say, yeah, retweet our tweets and stuff, please. And yeah, whatever. Speak to you later. Thanks.
All right, guys. Ladies and gents, thank you ever so much for continuing support of the Twin Peaks podcast. We're absolutely chuffed to bits with the support that you guys have given us thus far. Please continue to share the podcast and we'll reach a few more people and hopefully we can help them with their investing. There's X amount of stocks Pete and I have tweeted about that we've spoken about in previous podcasts and they're up 60, 70, 80%. And I hope that you individuals have prospered by going away and have done your own research and have prospered from the ideas that we've generated on this show. So take care. Stay safe, and as always, if you can do anything for anybody out there that's in your community and you can do so safely, please consider what you can do for others. And just keep yourself safe as well. Take care, God bless. And if you're over 70 and you're living in the UK, you know, there's still time to go and get your jab. All right, ladies and gents, take care. Pete and I will catch up with you in 2 weeks. If you're enjoying this, please subscribe on the platforms that you're on. Take care. God bless.
Bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast was brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.